Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
The message this morning, which I've titled, Live Ready. I can't preach to you the same sermon that you guys have probably heard 1,000 times. Well, not actually 1,000 times. Hopefully none of you guys are 1,000 years old. If you are, then maybe you need to be up here, not me. But I'm sure you've heard it before of a New Year's message right before the new year or after the new year of a new year, new you, right? What are your goals? What are your new things in this new year? And while we can still set, you know, New Year's goals, New Year's resolutions, and we can do all of those things, this year's going to be a little bit different. Going into 2020, we didn't know what we were going to expect. I expected to move here in 2020, which me and my family did. That was a change for us that we did, which we have absolutely loved. We love Wyoming, and we love this church. It's a fantastic church, fantastic community. I do want to be able to say that. But many things have happened in 2020. There's been a lot of struggles. There's been a lot of challenges, a lot of different things that as individuals we've had to face and that we've had to face as a church. From lost loved ones to lost jobs to struggling finances to family members becoming sick, not being able to visit them like we should, stores closing early, stores completely shutting down in different places, not able to reopen ever again due to COVID and the different mandates that we've had to follow and all of these different things, something we weren't really expecting, something we weren't, I don't know if we would say ready for. I would say maybe we were. Because if I look back at 2020, and if I look back at everything, I see a lot of great moments. I see a lot of great things that God has done, that he's done through me personally, with my family, that he's done through this church. And we can name most of them. You know, and one thing that we're going to do this morning is we're going to look back on 2020. We're going to look at the bad and we're going to look at the good. And then we're going to take a look, and then we're going to see, well, what do we need to take away from 2020? What do we take away from 2020? What can we leave in 2020? There's some things we can definitely leave in 2020. We definitely need to be able to do that. But just as that intro shared with us this morning is that we were not promised a perfect life when we accepted Christ. Something Christ told his disciples that we, something we can learn from a lot from the disciples is that, you know, there's going to be trouble. And it was John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a huge verse. That's an important verse. That's something I've looked to for a long time because there's been a lot of troubles. I've had troubles in my life. And this is a verse that I've watched, I've listened to, I've carried with for myself to be able to help get me through hard times because I know that I have a God who's one who's been on this earth and has faced many trials and struggles more than I have. And he didn't actually do it through his own power. He used the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to do the work that God called him to do, to be able to show us, to be an example for us, saying, these are the things that you are meant to do, just as I have. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in us today. And that's the Spirit that we use. So I'm not going to preach to you, a new message, but I'm sure you guys are wondering, all right, you know, how do we be ready for this next year? How do we look at it? Well, that's our first point, right, is we're going to look back on 2020 and a little bit further, the bad and the good. Okay, we're going to start with the bad and we're going to end on the good. Okay, we're going to end on a good note. We're going to end on a good note this year. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. It's going to be a little winded here, but these are some great verses for you. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Verse 11 is a key verse right there that just really stuck out to me. And it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. The culmination of ages is happening to us, to our generations. We can see it now more than ever. The culmination of the ages, everything coming to an end, everything coming to a close, we can begin to see it more now than we did 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's our generation, our generations, our kids, our neighbors, our families. It says, but these things were written down as examples for us. So the Bible even shows us right there that you can look back on previous years and learn something from it. You can take away from something that's bad happened to you and bad that's happened to other people and begin to learn from them. That's what that's telling me. That the Bible was given to us in order to be examples for us to be able to learn from. There's a lot of people that we can learn from in the Bible, okay? You've got Moses. He made some interesting choices at times. You got Abraham, who also made some interesting choices at times, but yet was still considered to never waver in his faith, even though he made some bad decisions at times. You've got King David, who's regarded as the best king ever for Israel, and yet he had some shortcomings as well. If we can learn from them and the different things that they did, and we learn to not be grudgingly, and we learn to not, you know, be idolaters and all these other different things, then we can look back on 2020 and even further if we have to and be able to learn from the different things that have happened. That's why we have history classes, isn't it? So that way we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from the other nations who came before us, who kind of messed things up and why they're no longer a nation. Or why people were just so greedy and that they wanted to conquer the entire world and set out to do it and yet failed and were conquered by another nation. Or the reason why people had lost battles, right? We learn from those. We learn from the mistakes and different things that people have made. And that's what they do in the military. I've talked with plenty of people in the military. They will make five contingency plans outside of their main plan, okay, before they have to go in on a mission. If it's just like SEAL Team 6, when they go in, okay, they've got backup plans on backup plan. They know what to do. They know where to go. They've done enough research. They've done enough information that if they get into a bind and if only one of them's left, they still know what to do. They're no longer wondering, okay, what do I have to do next? They are trained to be ready for that next thing because they've learned so much. They've learned from those who came before them who made mistakes. And they've learned from that. And that's something that we need to be able to do. And while, yes, 2020 has been crazy and been harsh, we've lost loved ones, financial struggles, jobs lost, all these different things that have happened in 2020, we can easily look at all of the bad things that have happened. I had a friend in Michigan who traveled a lot, and his job continued to have him travel and do different things, and he ended up getting COVID. Luckily, he's healthy, and he's younger than I am, and his wife ended up getting it, and they're like, it's really weird. Like, I had a lemon, and I can't taste anything. Like, it doesn't even sting. Like, I feel a little bit of tingle on my tongue, and that's it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you got COVID. Okay, you can't taste anything. Like, that stinks. Okay, give my kid a lemon. He'd, like, throw it at me and start crying. Wish my kids couldn't taste anything right now. Maybe they'd eat a little bit more of things that they don't like. I'm kidding. I don't want my kids to have COVID. Okay, I'm not like that. I promise. Okay, I'm a good dad. I try. But let's look at a few positive things that have happened this year. A few positive things that have happened for the church. Okay, but we've got a bad one, right? We had to close our doors for a while, but we were able to do online streaming. So one of the things that we were able to do this year is the church mortgage was paid off this year, right? Amen? Amen? We paid off the church mortgage? What's another one? The church finances are stronger than when I got here. They really are. Well, when I first got here and when we entered March, just to be transparent with you guys, because I know Pastor Craig already has. So if he has, then I'm allowed to do it too. I believe last time, come March, we were about $20,000 in the red. And last I was told, we were $40,000 in the black. That's a $60,000 swing, which is absolutely incredible. And I'm like, I don't know what happened, but that was Jesus. On top of that, the person who actually gave and helped paid for the church mortgage to be paid off, there's actually $40,000 that was left over that actually has gone to be able to help pay for the signs. That didn't come out of our extra budget that we're able to now have because of the name change that we did. That's a blessing. That's not an extra cost added to the church that we have to think about. That was awesome. The church has started live streaming our services. For those of you guys who have been able to watch online, right, we're streaming our services, and we're looking at upgrading a little bit more so that way we can stream to Facebook and YouTube at the exact same time. So if you've been having trouble getting on YouTube, well, guess what? You'll be able to see it right on Facebook and get notifications and be able to just click the one button and be like, yay, it's working, hopefully. Technology is a crazy thing. It's not perfect like we wish, all right, unless you want to spend a lot of money. But another incredible things that have happened this year is two things that has happened with the youth that I know of because, well, I'm over the youth ministry. But he has touched the lives of our youth through our mini camp that we did and at youth convention this year. There was one student who said that the mini camp that we held, that I held here at the church for just our students, was better than any other camp that they had been to prior. And I only did a one-day camp. I did like a 12-hour camp, and that's all I did. Camp's normally like a 5-6-day event. I can't do that, all right? Okay, that'd be a little hard. But then we were able to host a youth convention here at this church. And the amount of testimonies that I've heard throughout Wyoming from different youth pastors, from senior pastors who came and brought their youth because they don't have a youth pastor, have been absolutely tremendous. Several of them who have given their lives to Christ. Several of them who are like, oh, this is what worship is. Okay, that's awesome. And they got into worship for the first time ever. That they worshiped God freely for the first time that they ever had. And they had to do it from their seat. Because we didn't let kids be able to come to the altar. And yet they were still impacted and touched in a completely different way than they ever had been before. To me, that's a blessing. I've seen numbers grow within the youth ministry, even with having COVID and having to close and doing more social distancing and everything, but yet we've had more kids coming, new families joining the church. It's amazing. God's done some great things, and I bet some of you guys could share some great things that have happened to you guys personally as well. I know I can. I started working out with Pastor Daniel. Okay, I know I talk about it quite a bit, okay, right? And he's a little intense at times, okay, I promise you he is, okay, if you want to work out, if you want to, you know, change your habits, you can come work out with us, okay? We're at the gym at about 5:30 in the morning, at the YMCA if you wish to join us. We have done some intense workouts and different things, right? But I've lost over 10 pounds in weight, okay? Right? That's a great thing. I've lost 10 pounds. I'm healthier than I ever have been. I promise you I am. I'm making better choices than I ever did before. And part of that is thanks to Pastor Daniel. I wouldn't be able to continually be in the gym without him. I wouldn't. I'd have given up like 3 days in. I'm like, I'm done. I can't get up this early. It's boring. I can't do it no more. But he's always up texting me, and I'm like, oh, fine, I'll get up. Trust me, I got him up when he's texted me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm awake. I'm coming. He's had to call me, and I'm like, I'm just woke up. Okay, and some days I miss on purpose, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not coming today. I'm too tired. Ain't happening. He's like, fine. And then he tells on me, and then he makes me make it up the next day, and we work twice as hard. Yes, that's how it grows, with working out with Pastor Daniel. But I've enjoyed it. I have begun to enjoy working out and all of these different things, and it's been a great opportunity. And that's something that we started doing in May after the gyms finally opened back up. And they're still open back up. That's a choice I decided to be able to make for myself, for me to be able to be healthier, for me and my family, for my kids, for myself, for my ministry. So that way I can continue to beat the youth kids in many other ops games and other things that we do. Sam's like, yeah, okay. as he's half asleep over there. Sam has joined us at a couple times at the gym before, and I've seen him with his eyes closed while he's doing jumping jacks. And I'm like, man, I thought I was tired. And he's like, I'm like, bro, you need to wake up, dude. Are you that? Like, are you alive? I'm not sure. I'm just picking on you. Sam works hard. He also played football at the same time while working out with us, while doing extra workouts and doing schoolwork. He did an amazing job while he was working out with us. So, but things have been crazy. Things have been different in 2020. And so I do, just for a second, we're going to go on to our second point here, but I want you guys to just take a second and just look back on 2020 and think about some of the good things that have happened. Some of the good things that have happened for you personally, for your family members, for some of your friends that you have. I'm sure there's been some good things that have happened, right? Maybe a different job, a better job than you thought, than you had before, that maybe you had lost. And you're like, you know, I'm way happier where I'm at now than where I was then. Maybe you've connected with new people. Maybe you've gained more friends. Maybe you've gotten closer to some friends that you've had. Maybe you've seen God move in a miraculous way in your life that just proves that he loves you and that he's there for you. Because I know I have. I know I've seen it by this church, by how great this church is, how faithful you guys are to each other, how strong you guys are as individuals and together. It's been awesome to be able to see how wonderful this church is. I mean, the amount of cookies that I've received for Christmas, like, I think I've gained the weight back that I lost, okay? I don't want to weigh myself. I'm a little scared, too. I'm just going to be honest, okay? I do love cookies and Rice Krispie treats, okay? It's been, and I got more, okay? I received 28, I didn't have this in my sermon, but I'm going to share it. I received 28 Reese's cups, okay, of the two-pack Reese's cups from Michigan, from some of my friends there. Because they know I love Reese's, and like it came in a styrofoam cooler, and I'm like, for real, I got 28 Reese's? Like, what am I supposed to do with all of this? Like, I don't want my children to eat it. I want to eat it, but at the same time, I don't want to eat it. Like, I'm so confused, church. I'm so confused. Someone help me answer that question of what I'm supposed to do, okay, at some point. Give it to you guys? Okay, they want it. Some other people want it. Maybe I'll bring them next Sunday, and I'll just start handing them out, okay? After I eat a couple more, okay? I have a problem, okay? I promise you. This is why I work out with Pastor Daniel, okay? I used to eat ice cream almost every single day before I started working out with him. And now I can go 2-3 weeks without eating ice cream, maybe get a container because he's a little too stressful, and then I eat the container after 2 or 3 days. And then I won't get another one for 2 or 3 weeks, okay? Until Pastor Daniel gets on my nerves a little too much, and then we can just continue on, okay? Trust me, if you do come with us to the gym, he's very awake in the morning, okay? He will start preaching to you in the morning. It's 5:30, we're at 5:15, and we're on our way to the gym. And I'm like, dude, I can't right now. I won't even say anything to others. I'll be like, mm-hmm, yep. We'll be jogging, he's still talking. It's been 20 minutes. I'm like, can't. If you want to get to know Pastor Daniel, please get to know him. You can see him after service once he comes down from being with the children. That's why he's a children's pastor, trust me. He can do it, okay? And he's older than me, and I'm like, I can't do it, okay? But here's my second point for you guys this morning is, what do we take away from 2020? What do we take away from 2020? And in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 says this. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that your testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let your perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If there is one thing I've learned from 2020, it's that we as a church are stronger together. That's a little sub-point for you. That's something I've learned from this church more than I did when I was in Michigan. Because of how faithful you guys are, how strong you guys have been. I know that this church loves God and you guys love people. By the way, you guys have welcomed people every time they come in, the way you guys greet new people who've come into this place. We are stronger together. Period. That's why God has made us. That's why in the Bible he has called us one body. We are one body made up of many members because we are stronger together. We can get more done together than we ever could on our own. I also learned another thing that I've learned is that when things get tough, you stick to your guns. That's physically and metaphorically, okay? That's literally, I thought you guys would laugh at that, but I guess not, okay? Literally and figuratively, okay? You guys really do stick to your guns, okay? It's just how you guys are, okay? I was warned with that when I come here, okay? There might be people open carrying, okay? It's an open carry state. It just happens, okay? Don't be scared when you walk into Wendy's and someone dude's got a gun on his hip. You're safe. You're actually more safe that way, okay? That's all I've ever been told. But you guys do. You guys stick to your guns. You guys have stuck to your faith. Your belief in God and in this church and in each other, you guys have stuck to that. You guys have not wavered in that. And that makes me excited. That makes me happy as a pastor, knowing I didn't do any of it, though. You guys did that on your own and with other pastors, so I will give them credit. I also learned this, that we are willing to move forward for whatever God has for us as a church. I've seen that. You guys have adapted to many different things that have happened. You guys have respected one another, even with looking at COVID and all the mandates and different things differently. You guys have still chose to respect and love one another with how they are. Many of you guys who call one another just to see how they're doing for those who aren't able to always be here. I love that. I think that's amazing. And through the food pantry, the way the food pantry has handled everything and worked so hard to be able to do what they do, and all of the volunteers to be able to continue to serve this community, that's what this church is. You guys have been willing to move forward and do what is necessary in order to continue to be able to have church, to be able to see one another, to be close to one another, and yet while keep people safe and respect and love one another. But I will say our faith has been tested this whole last year in many different ways. But I'm finding that we have had a lot more faith than we thought we did. While many people said we weren't ready for 2020, I would say that this church was ready for 2020. I've seen it. Yeah, it may look a little barren here this morning, may not be a whole lot of people, but you know what? I see a whole lot of faith. I see a whole lot of love. I see a whole lot of strength this morning. I really do. That's what I see this morning. And each and every single one of you, and I know there's other people who are visiting family and traveling and doing different things, and that's wonderful, and they deserve to be able to do that. And I hope that you guys are able to be able to do that as well. So again, I've shared with me about me and Pastor Daniel, okay, working out and doing all of these different things and being able to be healthier and all of these different things. Something that has happened, though, that I can take away from 2020 with working out and being consistent is that because of our consistency at the gym, that there are people actually at the gym that we've gotten to know. We've gotten to know several of the staff members, and we've gotten to know about four or five different people who actually also work out at the same time as we do, and sometimes earlier, and they're also very awake people, okay? But what's happened is we've gotten to know them. We've built relationships with these people, and we goof off a little bit in the gym, okay? Just a little bit, okay? Mostly because I'm tired and I don't want to do it, but I do it anyways. But with that, there's this one guy at the gym. His name is Gene, and he's actually younger than me, but he can lift like twice what I can. That's a little frustrating. But he's like, when you guys aren't here, it's boring. It's like, it's weird. He's like, I show up, I got my headphones in, I listen to my music, I do my thing. He's like, and then I go to work. He's like, it's blah. He's like, I miss it when you guys aren't here. He's like, I need you guys here because you guys make this place so much better. And to me, that's absolutely awesome. We've had the opportunity to be able to share Christ with others a couple different times. Pastor Daniel's invited one to be able to come to church on a Sunday when he was getting glued and feathered. Okay, that was another awesome thing that happened this year, okay, for the church, right? We got to glue and feather Pastor Daniel. All because they raised the money for BGMC, okay? The kids did that on their own. They did a fantastic job raising that. But we've built opportunities. We were in this for the long game when we started working out. We knew that it wasn't just for us personally, but we looked at it as an opportunity to be able to reach others for Christ in a different way, to be able to get to know someone on a different level. And they've begun to open up to us and share different things about them. Right? I know about almost how many kids each of them have, how old each of them are, their likes, their dislikes. Even ran into one of them when we were voting. He showed up behind us, and we were like, oh, snap, what you doing here? He's like, oh, I just live right over there. I was like, oh, hey, so do we. Look at that. We live like a quarter of a mile from each other. That's crazy. Something you would never know. Never would have talked to him before. And most of it's because Pastor Daniel wants to do crazy workouts. So they're looking at us like, why are you guys doing that? What's wrong with you? Right? When you have to deadlift 265 pounds, okay? And they're like, you're kind of small, dude. Yeah, I know I'm small, okay? That's more than I weigh, all right? And that's 1.5 times my body weight. I don't want to lift that, okay? But I did anyways. Right? Praise the Lord. Yeah, okay. My back's not praising him, but my back is happy that it can do it, though. I've become stronger. I don't think I've ever been able to deadlift 265, even when I was in high school. But we've had some great opportunities to be able to minister to people, and we're gaining even more opportunities to be able to do that. Never would have had that opportunity if Pastor Daniel would have never kept nudging me and poking me. Literally poking me. That's just how he is. Here's my last point for you guys this morning, all right? And it's live ready. Live ready. Something I want you guys to do this morning, as you guys leave this morning, as you guys welcome one another, as you go out there, we've got coffee and treats for you guys. I want you guys to think about just encouraging someone this morning as you walk out. Maybe compliment them. Maybe wish them a happy new year and hope that they had a great Christmas. Tell them how much maybe you care about them. Say something maybe that you would not normally say. Just encourage someone this morning, because we all need that encouragement as we go into 2021. Right, if you're still on this earth and you're hearing this, then God is not done with us. He's not done with this church. He's not done with us as individuals. He's not done with us at all. But I bet some of you guys are wondering, well, how do we live ready then? Well, I can tell you, you were actually mostly already probably living ready for 2020. You just didn't know what was coming. So maybe you weren't fully mentally prepared for it. But there's one thing that we can definitely do, and that's staying in prayer. Praying more than we did in 2020. That's why I believe this fasting and prayer time is so important that we begin in the new year to be able to start this new year off right, that we can be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Never fully understood what that meant. And I've had different people try to explain it to me, and I'm like, you know, it's pretty difficult. But one thing that I learned over time is that generally when someone comes up to me and they say, hey, can you pray about this? And they're not looking for prayer right then and there. They're asking me to be able to pray it, put it into my prayer time and different things like that. Something that I do is once I walk away from that person, I pray for that need. I've learned to do that. I've trained myself to do that, that every time you give me a prayer need, I'm going to pray for it right then and there after we're done talking. As I'm walking back to my office, as I'm walking with my family, I'm saying it underneath my breath as I'm in the grocery store, whatever it is, I'm praying for it. I'm lifting it up to God. I'm doing it right then and there. There's no reason to wait, because he always hears us. He's always there. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Ephesians chapter 16, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word. This is what the word is saying. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 44 says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There's a whole lot of people we can pray for right now. There's a whole lot of people we can pray for coming into 2021. And that's something we desperately need to be able to do. We need prayer now more than we ever did, because words aren't always getting through these days. They're not always getting through. Some of you parents know, right? You've got one kid, okay, who's pretty cool, pretty chill, right? For those of you, especially those who are older, you've had kids, okay? Then you've got another one who you're like, did you ever listen to me? Like, did you get anything? Like, they're probably close in age too, and you're like, what happened? Okay, you've probably gone into the store, and you're like, what happened? That's your brother? That's your sister? Like, you for real? Like, you're all totally different. I have a younger sister. Her name is Emily. And she actually got saved before I did. She was actually part of the reason why I came to Christ, because she decided to be so gung-ho for Christ and do all these different changes. I remember she threw out a couple like AC/DC and different CDs that she had back in the day, and I dug them out of the trash. I was like, what are you doing? Those are good things. I will take those if you don't want them, okay? About 3 months later, they all ended up in the dumpster, including all of mine. Okay, I ended up getting rid of all of them once I accepted Christ into my life. But me and her are about 2 years apart, and what ended up happening is she got in with a different crowd. Even though we had similar friends, a couple of them that we knew, one I didn't really care for as much, who she did, and things started going downhill. She dropped out of school. She got pregnant before she, probably when she was about 18, before she finished high school. And even right now, to this day, unfortunately, she's got, I got to count, at least 3 kids, and she's unmarried and having to work harder than she ever has been and has 2 different baby daddies. One she's still with now, which I wish wouldn't be happening, but that's a different story. But even though we grew up similar, even though she accepted Christ before I did, she saw things differently than I did. She perceived things differently than I did. Perception is key in a lot of different things. We've got family members and they all see things differently. They all hear things differently. They see things differently. The way they take them in, the way they process them, the way they handle them is different. For each and every single one of us, it's been different. What you hear me saying may not be the exact same thing that someone else is hearing because they're perceiving it differently. They're looking at it through different things that they've encountered because my sister had a harder time forgiving my dad than I did because she had a harder time with what my brother and sister were going through at the same time. She had a hard time processing it. She had a hard time handling it. And she just struggled with different things. And I used to blame myself that I didn't do more for her. I used to guilt myself into saying I wasn't good enough. So one day God spoke to me when I first began Master's Commission, when I first began college, and he said, she made that choice on her own. You didn't make that choice. Yes, you could have prayed for her more. Sure, you could have talked to her more. But that's no guarantee that that would have changed anything in her life. There were others who were in her life who were pushing her towards that way. And there's not much that I could have done. Which also hurt. But at the same time, I had to accept that I do not own my sister. Right? That I cannot control her. And I had to relinquish control to God for her and be able to say, God, she's yours. There's nothing that I can do. You must do it. You must bring her to you. I'm going to continue to pray for her. I'm going to continue to love her and be with her. But Lord, she is yours. And I'm still holding on to that today. There's another thing that we can do to continue to live ready, and that's to continue to listen to God. Listen to what he has to say to us. There's been a lot he's already said to us. And as I look back on many different people, as I look back on those who went into Master's Commission, who were called into ministry, and they're like, yes, I'm called to be a youth pastor. I'm called to be a worship pastor. And they go into college, and they're like, yes, I'm going to do it. And they believe that once they get out, that it's pretty much going to be handed to them. Some of you guys are like, yeah, okay. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you think you get out of a career path, or you get out of college, you're automatically guaranteed to win. Because you've done the work. Well, the work doesn't end there, especially for ministers. It doesn't end there. They think that they can just kind of skid by through college. Some of them did, and that they would be all hunky-dory and everything would be great. But it's not always that case. And many of them fell off. Some still believe in God, and some don't. Because they thought that they were going to be handed something when they were done. They thought that it was going to be all easy peasy when it was over and that just everything would fall into place as it would. But just as any job, you've got to make applications. You've got to apply for them. You've got to pursue things. God has a part that we have to play. And so if you're wondering, God, why am I not hearing you anymore? Like, what else am I supposed to do? I can guarantee you he's already given you something to do and he's waiting for you to still do it. I've struggled with that myself. It's just like, where am I at, God? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. He's like, you remember this from like last year, like a year and a half ago? I'm like, yeah, I remember that. What'd you do with it? I think I left it back there in 2016. Gotcha. Okay. I will go back and pick that up, God. Yes, that's my fault. And had to go back, remind myself what it was that he told me, and continue to move forward with whatever that was. I've done that a couple times. But I've learned that we must look back on what God has already told us and push forward with that dream, with that vision, with that goal that he's already given us to do, and continue to do it until we've seen it through or until he has given us something else to do. That's what he wants us to do. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Another thing that we need to be ready with when it comes to living ready is we need to be in the Word of God daily. Right? It's something that we need to do daily. And I'm sure you guys have heard all of these before. But as we go into 2020, we need to make sure that we're doing this. That we're doing this as a church. That we're doing it as individuals. That we're doing it with our families. That we're having our devotion time that we need. Not that we're just reading a devotion book that someone else has written. Those are fantastic. Trust me, yes, they are. But you need to be in the Word for yourself, where you can let the words jump out at you and you'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I've never read it like that before." Where God speaks to you and you're just like, "Oh man, that's what I needed for the day." Or maybe you're just like, "I don't know what that's for, but okay." Next thing you know, in the middle of your day, someone's talking to you and you're like, "Oh snap, that's what that's for. I got you, I got you, I got you." I remember being in high school, and every day was better every time I read the Word in the morning. I was a little crazy when I was in high school. Some of the youth students know this about me. Something I used to do when I first got saved, I was like, "What do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do." Worship pastor, who was at our church, I started going through one of his classes that he was doing on a Sunday morning, and sometimes on a Wednesday night, to be able to become a leader in the church. And he was like, "Something that you can start off doing is 20 minutes in prayer, 20 minutes in reading the Word, and 20 minutes in worship. It's 1 hour. Very simple, very easy." I was like, "Oh, snap, yeah, I got that." So I would wake up about two and a half hours early before school. I would wake up somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. And the first thing I would do would be to flip on my light switch in the morning, and I would automatically, first thing I would do, begin to worship God in the morning. I'd turn on music, I'd put headphones in, whatever I had to do to be able to do it. Walk around with my CD, big old CD player, okay? All right. iPods weren't new, okay? Couldn't afford an iPod, okay? Walking around in my room with just a CD player, okay? Skipping songs that I didn't like. And then I'd spend 20 minutes reading the Word, and then I'd spend 20 minutes in prayer, praying for friends, for family, school friends, acquaintances, people that I knew, just going through the list. I had a journal. I would write down what I was learning in the Word of God, everything I felt like God was telling me. And it's funny because I look back and I was like, man, everything was about my dad. Like, man, I had some issues to work through, but God was working me through them. And that's something that I did. I'd wake up super early, bright and awake. Can't do it anymore. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, why? But I get up, and I still do it. And that's something I try to pass on to other people. It's something very simple. You got an hour in a day that you can make. Spend 20 minutes in prayer, 20 minutes in worship, 20 minutes reading the Word. And it'll transform your day. If I was having a bad day, and if I was struggling, if I had classmates who were being crazy and a little rude and just people I wanted to smack upside the face, I was still working on being refined, okay? Trust me, I was, okay? Because that's something I would actually do to people. Not all the time, okay, but every now and then, you know, I'd be like, "Boy, you better watch it." But I would say a prayer at my locker. I'd get up and I'd go to my locker, and I would just say a quick prayer, and I'd be like, "Lord, I need you right now. Like, I'm struggling. You better touch these people before I do." Okay, all right. I learned that one from my mom. Okay, thank my mom for that one. But we need to just continue to be in His Word daily. As we get ready to close here this morning, a couple more things that I just want to be able to say is there's a lot of people we can learn from in the Bible, right, who've done different things. And we need to look at them. We need to learn from King David. We need to learn from Moses. We need to learn from Abraham. We need to learn from our family members, our friends, and those who have come before us, those who are younger than us even, who are choosing to make different mistakes. And we're like, okay, yeah, I know not to do that anymore. There's a whole lot of things that we can still learn today. There's a whole lot of people who still need help today, who need the church to be ready as we go into 2021. Because things are not going to continue to get easy for us as the church. We can read it through his word, through Revelation. You can see it. Things are going to get harder for Christians. And we need to be ready for that. We need to be ready to stand on the word of God, stand on Christ and who he is, and be able to say, this is what it says, and I'm okay with disagreeing with you. Because as I read more news and as I listen to Pastor Daniel and all the different things that he reads and all the different things that we talk about in the morning and during work, and I'm like, all I see more is people who say that we disagree with them, that we are now in the wrong because we don't agree with them, because we don't accept their lifestyles and the things that they're doing. And we need to be ready to be able to say that and get pain back. We must continue to have our faith tested to be able to have that perseverance as we go into 2021. We must have perseverance as a church. We must continue to stick together with one another and be ready for whatever 2021 has. I'm not looking at 2021 and saying, I hope everything goes back to the way it was. I'm looking at 2021 and saying, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for whatever you've got because I've been working out, okay? All right. And I'm healthier now and I can handle it. Okay. All right. And trust me, I got toddlers. Okay. Bring it. Okay. All right. Just not when they're also bringing it. Okay. Cause that's a little too much to be able to handle. Okay. Toddlers are a lot. And I'm sure you all know that. Last couple of verses I want to read to you guys, church, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 13 through 18. And it says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us not an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Go ahead and stand with me, church, will you? Will you stand with me, church? Another thing that Jesus told us before he left, something we can continue to learn from the disciples, is right, he tells us to go. Go, he says, make disciples and baptizing them in my name. There's a lot that he has asked us to be able to do, but that's one thing that we can definitely count on is that he wants us to reach others for Christ. We need to be ready to be able to do that as we go into this new year. I'm ready to be able to do that as we go into this new year with you, to be able to face whatever kind of struggles, challenges, that are ahead for us, knowing that God fights our battles. That song we sang this morning, Surrounded, and it says, yeah, it looks like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I always think of Elisha in the Bible. When all these men come to his home, and Elisha's just chilling, and his servant's like, Elisha, you need to look outside. There's some bad dudes outside. And he's like, this is what Elisha does. He prays, and he's like, Lord, open the servant's eyes. And he opens his eyes. When he opens his eyes, he sees a bunch of angels all around, surrounding the other army. And it's just like, oh, snap. And I'm like, yes, that's my God. Even though I can't see it, I know that he's there. Even though there's a tough time, I know that he's there. And better yet, I know that he's always there when we stick together as a church, when we continue to do his work that he's asked us to do. So church, I want to be ready in 2021. I want to live ready, prepared for what God has for us to do as a church. As yes, there may be struggles and there may be some hardships that may come in 2021, but I believe there's going to be some God moments that are also going to transform us, that are going to change us, that may challenge us, but that are going to be absolutely amazing. And we're going to look at it and we're going to be like, yes, God. I want to be ready to be able to say yes, God, to whatever he has to say to us that morning. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us as individuals and to this church. God, we love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask that you strengthen your church. We ask that you strengthen us as individuals and that you would make us ready for this new year. Make us ready for what 2021 has for us as a church and as families, as friends. Lord, that we can continue to reach those that are lost, that we can continue boldly to be able to preach your word, to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has saved us from our sins. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're like, things have been really hard, things have been really tough. And maybe you just don't know Christ, or maybe you want to know Christ more. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you feel that you need to re-give your life to Christ, if you need to accept Christ in your life, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. Maybe you're even online and you're hearing this and you're like, yes, I need God more than I ever have before. If you're here this morning and you're like, I just need a touch from God. Things have been difficult. Things have been hard. And it's hard for me to be able to see the good things that have happened this year. And maybe you just need some prayer this morning. If you just need some prayer this morning, if you need some strengthening from the Lord this morning, you need a touch this morning, go ahead and raise your hand this morning. I want to be able to pray for you this morning. So I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. You're in the back. Let me pray for you guys this morning. Lord, I lift up every single person to you here this morning right now. For those who lifted their hands and for those who didn't, for those who are watching online, God, that you would begin to touch them. For Lord, those who are having physical problems, that you would begin to touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would begin to empower their friends and their family and their finances. Lord, that you would begin to speak to their hearts. You'd begin to speak to their minds. And Lord, that you'd begin to renew them in a right spirit. Lord, that you would speak to them and you would show them the verses. You would show them how much you love them, how much you care for them. And Lord, right now that you'd begin to speak and you'd begin to touch their lives. You'd begin to provide for them. You'd begin to transform them and change them into your image. And that you'd begin to do your work in them and that you would not stop until you see it completed to work. Completed to goodness. So Lord, I lift them up to you and I ask that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would comfort them and that you would lavish your love upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.